Romans 4, 24. And this, he's talking about Abraham's faith right here. I got a lot of stuff to cover today. And Romans 4, 24. We're going to be talking about raised by his power, raised in his power, raised by his power, and then raised in his power. Amen. Romans 4, 24, he's talking about Abraham's faith here, and he says this. He says, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe, say, if we believe, on him that raised up Jesus from the dead, or you got to believe in the resurrection. You got to believe in the resurrection, who was delivered for our offense. Whose offense? Not his. And was raised again for our justification. Right? This is the part that people leave out a lot of times when they're thinking about resurrection or Resurrection Sunday or Jesus just resurrecting. They get delivered from the offenses through salvation, confession, repentance, salvation, but then they forget that he justified us. And we're going to hit it from a whole bunch of different angles this morning. Father, think through my mind. Speak through my mouth that your people be edified. I ask for the anointing. I ask for your anointing. I ask for utterance right now, God, that you would give a word to your people on this morning. No matter what situation they find themselves in, we ask that you would speak unto them, that you would find them. I step back. You step forward. And I'll be careful to give your name all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Turn to about three people. You don't have to move around. Just shake their hand. Let them know they're around friendly people. Say, this is going to be a great day for you. This is going to be a great day for you. This is going to be a great day for you. Amen. You can have your seat. Raised by his power, raised in his power. If we can say that a couple of times, say raised by his power, raised in his power. Mm-hmm. Because we want to know and emphasize the importance that what Jesus did for us. He didn't have no sin. He had no offenses. He had nothing wrong. He had no failures. It's hard for us to wrap our brain around a person not having any failures. Say, he had no failures. And he had no reason to be judged. He had, because he didn't have any sin, he had no reason to be judged. How many know that, and Jesus spoke about it, that you can be hated without offense in this life. Sometimes people hate you and they ain't got no reason to hate you. Sometimes people don't like you. They don't even know you. They said, well, what they do to you? They said, I don't know. It's just something about them. It'd be rolling their neck. It's just something about them. I just don't like them. Every time I'm around them, I don't feel right. You crazy. That's what's wrong with you. God ain't showed you nothing. You don't know nothing about them. If you like somebody, you dislike somebody, and you don't even know them, you dislike them because of their appearance. Say, you need to get delivered. Say, you need to get delivered. Say, you need to get delivered. You might be crazy. So he didn't do anything and people still didn't like him. He healing people, brother. People still don't like him. He casting out demons. People still don't like him. Some of their relatives, they still don't like him. He feeding them, working miracles for them. They still don't like him. Say, Jesus paid for all our sins. So we didn't have to. You don't have to pay for them. Because if he paid for him and we still got to pay for him, then what's the point of him paying for him? If you still got to pay for him, why he got to pay for him? He didn't have to even die if we still had to pay for him. And so we want to look for some proof this morning. You know, people are confused. They don't even know. I really wanted to address this before I go further. They don't even know what to call this weekend no more. They don't, if you know, they don't like Good Friday. I told my wife, I guess what you want to call it, Bloody Friday? Pain Friday? What you want to call it, Murder Friday? They don't know what to say Easter. They don't know what to say Resurrection Sunday. They don't know what to say He Rose Sunday. They don't know what to call it. Words are only a vehicle for communication. So if you know what a person means, stop tripping. Jesus dies, or the process, he gives up the ghost on that Friday. He is beat. He is whipped. He is scourged. He is spit on. He is slapped. He is forced to carry a cross. He is stripped, shamed, and then he hung up on this cross to die. And that is all, for the most part, that people want to talk about. They only want to talk about that portion of what happened, but that was so much more entailed in what's going on than what the physical eye can show you. And so we're not diminishing his beating, his scourging, him being shamed, him being stripped, him being all these other things. Nobody is diminishing that. But the real thing of it is that Jesus wasn't really tripping about his body. You stay with me. He was not tripping about his body. You and I are created just like Jesus is. That body is only an earth suit. God had tabernacled himself in there. So even though the body was being afflicted, he was not hurting God. He was not hurting the Son. The Son is in his purpose. The Son is in his purpose. His purpose was to die. His purpose was to, watch this. So a lot of time we preach it from the angle and we get people stirred up by looking at what happened to his body. But all that had to happen to his body, all that had to happen to his body, because the real significance of it is that he had to be beaten. That epidermis level of our skin, this top level of our skin, has to be broken so that the blood could come out, so that humanity could be saved. Because John said that he is the Lamb. John was prophesying. He is, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. He's prophesying like the Passover. The Lamb had to be slain. They would take that knot and they would cut him from throat to throat. For the blood, all the blood did was cover our sins. Jesus came to eradicate our sin. And he had to, that body had to not only be beaten, but it really didn't have to be beaten, but he did have to be in a condition where he is sacrificed. To get the blood, say it's all about the blood. So people want to make it, because they only at one level of it, they want to make it all about making people feel bad about the blood being, you can hear it on the movie, and it's the blood being coming in the captain tail, whipping his skin out. Yes, all that did happen. But how many know it wasn't a bad Friday for Jesus? It was a bad Friday for his body. It wasn't no bad Friday for Jesus. Because Jesus is, watch this, a woman gets pregnant after 9 months of holding that baby. Everybody don't take them epidurals. So, you know, a lot of women, they have babies in the old days, they didn't have no painkillers. You had a baby, you had a baby. You felt the pain. But you didn't hear that woman as she is crying and as her body is going through these changes and she's trying to get that baby out of her. You know, she's crying and she's feeling the pain. But you don't hear her talking about how sorrowful she was. That's not no bad day for her. When that baby comes, she is just as happy of all the pain, all the blood that she lost, all the stuff she put her body through, the stress marks. She is happy. And Jesus is birthing the whole entire world. How many know this wasn't no bad day for Jesus? He's gaining the whole world. You and I was in there. And so we trying to, and God knew what he was doing. Jesus has to do this. He has to. He's in the garden. Matthew 26, he's in that garden. He's going through. He's the Bible says he is sweating blood. He's sorrowful, but he wasn't sorrowful about no death. He wasn't sorrowful about what was about to happen to his body. Amen. How do I know? Because Stephen didn't say nothing when he was being martyred. There's other men in the Bible that was martyred and they didn't say nothing. They're not more noble than Jesus. Amen. So if he was crying about pain, then other people who are less than him in the earth, who went through the same thing and said, Father, forgive them for they know not what to do, that would make Stephen more noble with Jesus. How many know he's not more noble than Jesus? So Jesus ain't tripping about he's about to die. He knows he's about to die. He's prepared, came through 40 generations anticipating this moment. He's not tripping about this. He's in a moment where his real anguish is coming from the fact, mother, that he is about to be without his father's presence for 72 hours. Sin was going to separate him for 72. You know, many people can go years and months that's born again, and they don't feel no kind of way that they sin is separating them from God. And Jesus didn't want to go through it for 72 days, 72 hours. Say, you should feel some kind of way. Yes. 72 hours, he didn't want to be away from God. People miss church. They'll go back to the world. They'll do all these things. They'll do all this. And this ain't to make nobody feel bad. But if you're born again, you should feel some kind of way when you can't feel God's presence. You should feel some kind of way. We should feel some kind of way when we can't hear God talk because we don't know what to do now. If God ain't talking to you, you don't know what to do. You ain't got no direction for your life. You're just flapping in the wind. Say, I thank God I hear God. If you don't hear God, don't you ignore that. Something is wrong. If you profess to be a born-again believer and you can't feel God's presence at some time, maybe not every day, but at some point, you should be able to get in his presence where you know God is still with me. God is still up on me. You should be able to hear direction. How are you navigating your life and you can't hear God? And Jesus is in a place where he says, what am I going to do for 72 hours without them? Say 72 hours. And he must give up the ghost. He must give it up. If he allows them to kill him, he didn't give himself up as an offering. So when you read Psalms 22, it prophesied that not a bone in his body would be broken. What is that about? That's about this. He's already stretched out. His lungs are stretched. That's shortening your wind. That's shortening your breath when you hang up like that. The way really it's kind of, it wasn't out like this. It's kind of up in a thing. It's stretching your lungs, so you're already getting less oxygen. And when you hang up like that, if you don't suffocate already, they would come through and they would break your bones, and that would speed up the suffering, or it would cause you to go through this asphyxiation and you would just smother. And when they got ready to break Jesus' legs, guess what they did? He gave up the ghost on his own because he couldn't let a man take credit for killing him. I mean, no, you can't kill God. Amen. And that's why he says, I got power to lay down my life. I have the power given to God to take it back up. That's why he was able to roll. He rose in God's power. But let's look at this. So you have to know all these things. Why we got to know all this stuff? Because I think we're getting people too emotional, and then they don't realize all the stuff that came with this. This is a gift to humanity. Any grace gift that you don't receive, salvation is a grace gift. Any grace gift that you don't receive, you don't have it. So I said, all over the world, people are preaching that him on the cross and being pierced in blood. Nothing wrong with that. People are talking about the slaps. They're talking about the spit on, gambling over his garments. At least we know he wasn't broke either, because ain't nobody gambling over something that ain't of no value. They gambling over it because they didn't have enough money to purchase it on their individual own. So it's like you lottery players. You just playing the lottery and hope you win. But his garments were not cheap. Mm-hmm. So here he is. He's in this place. He's getting ready to die. And we're in this hour now where everybody's just preaching that angle. But there's so much more that came along with this for you and I. Watch this. If Jesus didn't give up, what are we? We still in our sins. That means that all the people who died before us, that's the end of them. You're never going to see them again. When you die, that's the end of you. That ceased to be your existence. The resurrection provides a way, because we are, Jesus is the first fruits of it, of death. He tasted of the first fruits. If there's a first fruits, there's a second fruit. A third, a 79th, a millionth. That means other people can be born again. Say when he called my name, I'm going to be standing right there in glory. If he got up, you're going to get up. It won't be the end of your existence. So we had to prove that the price was paid and accepted by God. It wasn't just an immediate resurrection. Peter talks about it in 1 Peter 3 and 8 through 19. It talks about that he, put that up there for me, that it wasn't an immediate resurrection. So he actually descended into hell during this time. He actually went to hell. I had a man one time, I was downrange, 1 Peter 3 and 18. And we were in a Bible study I was teaching, and we were talking about this, and he said, my Jesus didn't go no hell. I didn't know you can just interrupt the preacher when he was talking. My Jesus didn't go no hell, brother. I mean, he's older. He's a saved guy. He didn't mean no harm. So he didn't mean no harm. He just didn't know. Do you know what the reply is? You better hope he did, because if he didn't go, you going. You better hope he went, because if he didn't, you are. And the Bible talks about it. For Christ also have a suffer for our sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, made alive by the Spirit. Keep going. By which also he went and preached unto them, unto the spirits in prison. That's hell. Right. Revelations 1 and 18. Because if he didn't go, he didn't go, he didn't go down there. I'm showing you that he went. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. Where'd he get them from? He went to go get them. Ephesians 4 and 8. He went to go get them. And there were people who done died before he was actually sacrificed, that he gave them a shot to get out too. I hope everybody took it. I say, I hope everybody took it. Now, people make the assumption that people want to follow God, and not some people don't. He says, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men. Keep going. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into where he go to? So before he ascended on high to be with God at the right hand of the Father, he first descended unto the lower parts of the earth. Sound like he went down there with a purpose. This wasn't no immediate resurrection. He went down there to handle his business, and for 3 days and three nights, Jesus is in the heart of the earth. He's in hell, but he say he's taking care of business. He took the place so that we didn't have to die to go to hell. He took the place so that we don't have to be condemned. He's making an exchange for us. He's paying the ultimate price. This is what he's created to do. He wasn't here to protect nobody. And as a matter of fact, like I was sharing with Co-Pastor this morning, he's God, but he's trapped in a body. Which means that he's in a human body at some point. His body is still going to die just like other people's body going to die. Why don't he just go on to be the sacrificial lamb like he was supposed to be and then win the whole wide world? See, sometimes when you're in your purpose, it ain't always easy, but it's God. And you don't know what you're winning for other people when you go through your love bouts with hell and then you come out of it. You don't know how many other people you are assigned to you that's going to come out eventually. So you just go what you go through. If it's your purpose, then you just handle it. Say, he took my place. Say, he took my place, and I'm glad about it. I mean, where would we have gone if he didn't do this? Because whether people believe it or not, mother, when people die without Christ, I don't care what the preachers say. I've never seen nobody preach a eulogy and the person went to hell. Everybody preached a eulogy. Everybody goes to heaven. That's not true. Some of our parents, some of our brothers, some of our sisters, some of our spouses, some of our uncles, some of our preachers, favorite ones, some of them went to hell. But when people die, it's this mindset that everybody going to heaven, everybody not going to heaven. Because the salvation is a grace gift, but if you don't take the gift, you're still unborn. You're not born again. When you die, you're going to hell. You're going to be tormented. People make light of it. Hey, all my friends going to be down there. We're going to have a good time. The whole point of it is you are being tormented in hell. And even though there are going to be millions and maybe even billions of people down there, what you're going to find out is that you're totally isolated from all of them. And you're totally isolated from God because Jesus only went to hell once. He's never coming back to get nobody else out again. So while people are bent out of shape about the passion of the Christ and him being whipped and pierced in the side and spit on and beat, what humanity should be upset about and crying about on this day is that millions and possibly even billions of people are still on the planet right now and they are lost in their sin even though they don't have to be. That's what people should be crying about this day. Jesus did a beautiful thing to ensure that we don't have to do it. We should be horrified when our children die without God. Our husbands, our wives, our loved, our friends, they die without. We should be horrified. We should feel some kind of way. But if they're born again, you don't have to cry. You're going to see them again. I say you're going to see them again. And people think, oh, I don't like talking about this. Well, you should talk about it, and you should understand it because you're dying too. Yes. Every day. And we need to come to grips with this so that we don't let our Savior pass us by. Say, pass me not, Lord. We should be talking about this. So he raised with all justification for our sins. This is where I'm going with this. And he paid for our death so we can be resurrected again. How many of you glad that you're born again and you're going to get back up again? Do you know when you're really born again, death shouldn't scare you. That's right. This I know Jesus wasn't tripping about that. Or how he had to leave. He didn't care. But when you got this settled, you don't get tormented by it. That's what this is all about. This is a promise. Do you remember he tried to show a couple of disciples what their glorified body was going to look like? The Mount of Transfiguration. He transforms into them. He became white. And Elisha was there. And Moses was there. The law and the prophets, they were there. But Peter them were out of touch with what he's trying to show them. He was trying to prepare them for what he had been telling them the whole time, is that he was going to be crucified. That he was going to die. And he's going to get back up. He was preparing them so much so that even after he died, he had to send somebody to remind them that he told them that this was going to be happening. Sometimes our minds ain't even focused on God, and people be prophesying to us, and then we're in it, and somebody else had to come and remind us of what God done already told us because we didn't believe it when we heard it. Well, believe this, you are actually going to die someday, but if you die in Christ, you get back up again. That's good news. My father, a couple years ago, my father passed, and he was as cool as a cucumber. Do you hear me? Had a good life, almost 90. Drove around the country to pretty much the last few years of his life. Cut his own yard. Worked on his own stuff. How many know that's good? Still had his right mind. But his heart had enlarged or swelled or whatever case it may be. That's because he'd had surgery years ago. He didn't want no more surgery, so he never went up for any follow-on treatment. So it was basically in a condition where nobody could do nothing for him. Right? And I remember going down there and they trying to resuscitate him and put him in the hospital. But he had already signed a DNR, do not resuscitate. And I remember talking to my stepmom about it, and we were talking about, you know, some other things about there, and I had just put him in his room, you know, but he wouldn't even get in his bed until he went through his thing like he always do. He always went on his knees before he got in bed. Even at the point of death, he was not gonna miss talking to God. How many know that's the way Jesus was? And he signs the DNR, and you know, it was hard for us, our family and our sisters, you know, because all of them was kind of tore up about it, but he wouldn't tore up at all. And if I said this, if anybody was ready to transition, he understood what was happening of it, because I said, he was better than most preachers that I know. And I'm not saying that because he's my father. I'm saying he lived that way. That was his lifestyle. Say, show enough saved. When you show enough saved, you're not scared of death. It don't have no sting. It don't have no victory over you, because the promise and the fulfillment of scriptures has already happened. The first fruits has happened. Jesus got up. You're going to get up. Say, I'm going to get up. But it didn't torment him. And so He paid for our debts. He completed it all the way through. Say, the debt has been satisfied. Say, I'm not going to hell. No need for me to go down there. No need for you to go down there. No need to be talking about it all the time. So why is the resurrection important? The resurrection validates that Christ is the Son of God. He'd been telling them the whole time. People didn't want to believe him. He had to prove that he had the power of God to rise above death. The resurrection also secures our salvation. It gets us to a point to where we can be saved from death. Watch this. But we can be saved from the other torments in this life. Do you know people are losing their mind like it ain't nobody's business? Mm-hmm. A lot of what they do in their altars in the form of trying to cast people, demons out of people, they're really looking at people who just souls are being tormented, but they're not demon possessed. He's attacking people's mind. He's putting anxiety on people, pressure on people, sickness on people, addictions on people. And they don't even realize that this day took care of all that. They don't have to live like that. He paid for everything that would bring anguish in your life. Jesus took care of it on this day. And so that's what I want to spend the next few minutes about, talking about this trade that he did. Your sins for, he took your sins and he didn't have none. Romans 10 and 8, he took condemnation and gave us justification. He put us in a better condition, but most of the church body don't live like this. Mm-hmm. People have come to church and they have just as many problems as the people out there. Marriages being the same type of shape. Health, same type of shape. Broke. Dealing with the same type of sex demons. Mm-hmm. Violence, anger. But Jesus took care of all that. So how do we get there? He says, but the word is nigh thee, it's even in thy mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. You shall be saved, right? You shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you haven't said it out of your mouth, you're not saved. If you don't believe in the resurrection, because that's what he said, you have to believe in the resurrection of the dead, that God raised Jesus from the dead, he shall be saved, and then you have to confess it. And a lot of people, they think they're born again. You have altar call after altar call. People won't come to the altar. And they say, I just receive him in my heart. I can receive more. I see. That's true. But you got to confess it out your mouth. Yes. There is a powerful connection between our sins and us saying something out of our mouth that actually saves us. So you got to say something sometimes. Let's read it again. With the mouth, he says, the word of salvation is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. It's the word of faith, which I'm preaching to you right now. A lot of what people think is preaching ain't preaching. You almost got to entertain people who have been bamboozled and still under sin. Oftentimes, they don't even have enough discipline to stay awake in church. Because somehow we've equated entertainment to preaching. And it's entertainment because entertainment is to indulge your flesh. Entertainment is to keep you sparkling and happy. And but this ain't got nothing to do with that. This is to save you. That heat is burning me up. Y'all smoking me out, man. You smoking me out. My sister say, hallelujah, Jesus, I feel like I'm in hell. Anybody else hot? If you ain't hot, just do this. If you take these two fingers like this and you do like this, you won't do it. Do it and see, don't you warm up. That's why I used to tell them privates. They be standing outside. I said, just rub these two fingers together. They be like, I say, you feel warm? They be like, yeah. I'm like, you ain't feeling no warm. Hey, it worked though. The spoken audible word has power in this dimension. Say Jesus. Say Jesus. I'm going to help some people get saved this morning because some of you done believed, but you ain't never said nothing. If you die like that, you're going to hell. Say Jesus. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you rose on the third day. I believe that you have caused me to be justified through the shedding of your blood. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Save me now, God. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. If you don't say that, there's power in the spoken audible word. And if you didn't say that, you're still lost in your sins. If you die tonight, you're not going to be with Jesus. And this is what happened on the thing, on the cross. He between two thieves. He gave them the opportunity to be saved. Only one of them took it. The other one was carnal. He just wanted to come down and keep on doing what he was doing. He didn't see no value, brother, in being saved. He just wanted to, I just want to be, and that's why people come to church. They got marital problems. They don't want to be born again. They just got marital problems. They just been fighting, and they want Jesus to fix their marriage. They broke. They ain't got no money. They say, God, live in abundance. I just want some money, God. I don't want you. Do you got some money? Do you got some money? I don't want you, God. I just want the money. They sick in their body. They about to die. They baby about to die, because people get serious with their kid. I just want my baby to live. Well, have you given your life to God? No. Then God don't hear your prayers. He don't hear the sinner. Why don't you get born again so that you can help your... He don't hear the sinner. The only prayer that he hears from a sinner is that prayer right there. After they pray that prayer, mother, then he listens to all their prayers. So, okay, if that's the case, then why did this happen to me? Why did this happen for me? Why did this happen for me? Because somehow we had a praying mama or somebody that was praying for us, and God was listening to them, but he wasn't listening to you. So you got blessed because somebody was praying for you, but God wasn't listening to you. Your family got saved. Your marriage got put together. Not because you came to church. God wasn't listening to you because you wouldn't give him your heart. Say, give your heart to the Lord today. He's not even listening to you. And that's hard for people to swallow. You know, you talking harsh, preacher. Hey, I'd rather say it like that so you can be prepared than for you to die and wake up and you in hell. Amen. And say that I didn't know. Yes. Say, now you know. Because believing in the resurrection is not optional. I say it's not optional. If you believe in any other way, then you don't believe in the way. Say, the resurrection ain't optional. If you don't believe in the resurrection, again, you still in your sin. Right. If Jesus didn't raise, then there ain't no such thing as no gospel. And again, like I told him on Friday, you can shut down every church. That's what Paul said. He says, if Jesus didn't raise from the grave, he's talking about pitiful are you. Pitiful for you for sitting up in here preaching to these people this stuff, and there ain't no heaven, there ain't no hell. When you die, you don't get up. But how many know I'm going to keep coming to church because I believe he got up? I believe that there is life after this life. Your life don't end because your life ends in this life. Say, I'm going to live forever. Your eternity depends on that statement. Do you believe that? The message of God to all sinners is this, that death does not end our existence. Pay attention, this is going to get real good to you. Death don't end your existence. There's a few things that God made us in his image. This is one of them. One of them is that you are a speaking spirit. So your life will reflect what you are saying because that's what you believe. But the other thing of it is this, is that because you are created in his image, you will never die. You will relocate. But you will never die. So when you leave this place, to be absent from the body, Paul says, is to be immediately present with the Lord. You're in his presence. If not, you immediately are taken. Your hell is waiting. Just like that. Peter, this ain't really encouraging. It's encouraging to me because if one person gets saved, I'd have did my job today. Amen. This is encouraging to me. Most stuff that's happening in church ain't got nothing to do with the gospel. Nothing. And this is why most of our churches and our families, they don't do no better than the people who ain't got God. Because nobody tells them how to actually get the power. That's what we're going to talk about. Say, I want the power, preacher. So watch this. Death is a doorway to eternity for you. It takes you from this place. It moves you into a place for the believer, the kingdom of God. It's the realm of salvation where you start experiencing, or you're going to experience the resurrection of God. John 14, 19 says this, Jesus said it rather. He says, because I live, you're going to live also. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. Say, because Jesus lives, I'm gonna live. He said in John 11:25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection, what? And the life. Whoever believes in me, though he was dead, yet shall he live. Though he was spiritually dead, when he believes in Jesus, he shall live forever. And that's somebody's words today. Maybe somebody watching. God wants you to get eternal life today. Amen. And he had put it in my heart. Even as I was doing this, you've been putting off salvation. He says, but there's no eternal life outside of receiving Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no life that's going to be promised to you outside of Jesus Christ. Is this important to us? Yes, Philippians talks about this. You know, the older you get, you start realizing that you're not going to be here forever anyway. Right. There are people that I've seen and loved and went on to be with the Lord. I want to see them again. Right. Yeah. I want to see Jesus. Yeah. Do you know his death and him paying for all humanity really gave him the right to keep that body? Mm-hmm. He didn't look like that when he came to earth. But when you see him the way he looked when he was on the earth, that gave him the right to keep that earth suit. Because when he showed up to his boys and all the disciples, they were able to recognize him for who he was. Because he had the, when you die and you come back, you get the exact same body. I don't want this old broken thing. That's the one you get. It's going to be new though. It ain't going to have all the holes. It ain't going to have all the aches. But you're going to look the same way. If you got deformities, ain't going to be no deformities on it. Ain't going to be no pain in it. But people going to be able to look at you and know exactly who you are because you get the same body. I know I let somebody down. You was hoping for something different. You don't get nothing different. You get the same one. But it says it's going to be resurrected with no flaws. And I want to get there. Anybody else want to get there? Philippians 3:10 says this. Everything that happens spiritually happens naturally. So when a person dies naturally, if they're not with God, they die spiritually. Did you get that? Yes, sir. Everything happens in the naturally the same way it does spiritually. The spiritual realm is more real than this dimension. You come out the spirit realm. You're going to go back to the spirit realm. Now you're going to choose a location. Philippians 3:10 says this. Paul said that I may know him and the power. Say that. And the power of his resurrection. Say that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now you think about this. If you know him, that solves eternal life. But then Paul says that I can know him and the power that's associated with the resurrection. This is what some of you need to, especially if you're struggling in your walk. If you're dealing with any type of perversions, this is your scripture. Mm-hmm. If you got any addictions, I don't care if they sexual, food, alcohol, I don't care what they are. This is your scripture. Yes. That I may know him, salvation, I'm intimate with God, and this power of his resurrection. I'm associating with the power now. So this power, resurrection power, is really the peak of God's power in operation for humanity. It's the peak of his power. Because it took the power of God to get Jesus out the grave. So you're looking at the peak of his power. If he can do that, then he can do all the other stuff that we're thinking about. It's the peak of God's power. It's Christ's resurrection power is being displayed. He's talking about we can display his power on a physical level and a spiritual level. Woo-wee. It's the peak of his power. I may know him, Brandon, and the resurrection power. The peak of his power, I can use it in this dimension, say right now. You don't have to struggle when you get born again. Amen. You don't have to be sick when you get born again. People say, all people get sick. I know what's going to happen to you because you believe that. Right. But if more people believe this, more people wouldn't get sick because they have resurrection power in them and it triumphs. If it can defeat the enemy of death, it can defeat every other enemy that you're dealing with in this dimension. Now, this is what should be taught to people about resurrection. If God, if Christ got up from that, I can be born again. Once I get that settled, he gives me this ability to be justified in this dimension. People are tormented by their past. They live these old raggedy, raunchy lifestyles before they got born again. And then the devil torment them with that life until they die because they don't realize that they got the power of his resurrection to get past. Say, that's what I need right there. And if you can get this, then you can walk in this newness of life. Because that's what resurrection power does. You're supposed to be able to walk in the what? The newness of life. And you shed the power that the devil has had over you. People get born again and they still have the same habits because the power of the enemy, they're allowing it to triumph over their life. Yeah. Say, I got resurrection power. Say, I got resurrection power. Say, it's going to help me in the spiritual realm. It's going to help me in the natural realm. Because everything that you see in the spirit, you see in the natural. Everything that happens in the natural has come out the realm of the spirit. If God is going to give us the ability to live the way he wants us to, he just didn't save us to come to heaven. And he gave you 60 more years down here, 80 more years down here, 50 more years down here. Are you kidding me? People be so simple, and they want to counsel all the time. Say, use the resurrection power. There ain't nobody got want to be talking to you every week about the same stuff. I get it one time. I get it two times. 3 or 4 years later, you shouldn't be dealing with the same stuff. Say, you need resurrection power. Look at them and shout them. Say, now get up. Say, get up, get up. Stop wallowing in your mess. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop talking about what you can't do. Don't make no more excuses about your natural behaviors. You got resurrection power. Use the power and your life will change. And that's what people want to play on people's emotions all the time. You get down, you get out. Everybody get down and out. Say, use the power. The difference between Christians that are using the power and some that are not, the ones that are using the power, they are standing up erect, looking at to the hills for what's coming to hell. The other one, they almost level to the ground. They always got something going on. Oh, woe is me. Say, use the power. People tired of listening to that. And you. So this resurrection power causes you to walk in the newness of life. If any man be in Christ, he is what? If any man is in Christ, he is what? He is a new creation. All things up. I like how King James write it. The newer versions, they'll say it's passing away. That give people permission to keep dealing with the same trash forever until they die. Say, all things are gone. All things are gone. I like the whole King James say, the old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm not the same. I don't think the same. I don't act the same. I'm not going to live the same. Say, all things have become new. It's not passing away. That's an excuse to stay down. No, God wants us to get up. I say, that's an excuse to stay down. God wants you to get up. Stop feeling, stop licking little wounds. If it's nasty in the natural to lick your wounds, it's spiritually nasty to lick your wounds. Say, just get healed and move on. Matthew 7, 27, please. 27 and 15. 51, rather. Matthew 27, 51. Because when Jesus got up, really, he broke all the powers of death over you. Anything that hell can do to you, he broke that power. Well, why are people still dealing with it? I know plenty of people, they still dealing with a preacher. What do you mean he broke up? Because they know him, but they're not using the power of the resurrection. They do know him. They don't. It don't look like it because nobody teach them that it's more to Jesus just getting up. Matthew, are you in Matthew 27? It says, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake. The rocks rent. The graves were open. Say, the graves are open. Yeah. See, Jesus opened the grave for Lazarus, but nothing happened. He told Mary, he says, I am the resurrection. Because the Jews, they believed in the resurrection. They believed that people was going to get up. It's prophesied in scriptures, but not like this. So the grave, he opened up the grave, but it wasn't until Jesus released power through his mouth in this dimension. Power is released through your words. And Jesus shouted into a grave, brother, and he told Lazarus to come out. He was shouting resurrection power into a grave, and he was telling Lazarus to come out. Shout at somebody and say, Lazarus, come forward. You didn't shout at him. Say, Lazarus, come forward. And so Lazarus is down, but when Jesus starts shouting into the grave, Lazarus stood up on his feet. He was still bound, much like many people is. God is calling them out, but they still bound. And then he told somebody else, he said, now what I want you to do, I want you to go and loose them, which means sometime after people get called out of life, out of death into life, you still got to work with them to get those rags off of them so that they can walk in freedom. Say, Lazarus, come forward. Shout, Lazarus, come forward. And as you come out of this place, it says the graves were open. Many bodies of the saints which slept rose. Yeah. Many got up when Jesus was talking. Many people got up. God wants us to get up this morning. That's somebody's word right there. Your spiritual and your natural graves have been opened. Rise up and come out. Say, come on out. Use the resurrection power. Say, come on out. Sickness is of your old life. Say, come on out. Poverty is of your old life. Say, come on out. Say, depression is of your old life. Say, come on out. Say, addictions is of my old life. Say, come on out. Now look at them. Say, just because you didn't say nothing, you're going to have what you didn't say. The word is nigh ye in your mouth. Well, you can't tell me that. I didn't tell you that. God told you that. You're not saved out of certain conditions because you don't want to be. Amen. People not saved just like people hear the gospel today. Mother, there are going to be churches all over the world. They're going to hold altar calls and people still not going to come to Jesus. Yes. You know why? Because they don't want to be freed. That's right. It's something about talking about our wounds that stays attractive to us because it draws the attention of people in many cases that would never even pay no attention to us if they weren't listening to our story. Right. But I'd rather them not look at me at all and just blend in and be free than to me to be dealing with the residue of my past and I'm drawing the attention of many. Say, I'd just rather be free. I'd rather not even deal with my story and you not hear my story. I'd just rather be free. Say, come on out the grave. Come on out the grave. Come on out the grave. Because the truth of it is, it's demonic in nature because everybody got a story. That's right. Yes, sir. Everybody got a story. And I know we think our story is the most important, but I love my wife, but my story is important to me. It's not that her story ain't important, but my story ain't probably as important to her as it is to me. And this is my wife. Why? This is why you hear people say, you can't tell it like I can tell it. What the Lord done for me. You can repeat it, but you can't tell it like I can tell it. What the Lord has done for me. Can't nobody know. Nobody know how to tell it like you tell it. You know what grave you come out of. You know what you was bound to. You know what almost happened to you. You know what you did to somebody else. Say, can't nobody tell it like you can tell it. Say, I thank God I'm free. Say, I'm new. Say, I'm new. I'm glad I got up. I'm new. I'm glad I got up. I'm new. I'm glad I accepted Jesus. I'm new. I'm glad I'm born again. I'm new. I'm glad I'm redeemed. I am new. I'm glad I don't have the same mind. I'm new. You better be glad I ain't got the same mind too. Say, I'm glad I ain't got the same mind because I'm new. I know I'm changed. I know I'm changed. When you talk about you knew, that means things have changed. You know, you are no longer a beggar. I'm prophesying to somebody right now. You are no longer a beggar. You don't have to be running around looking for all types of loans and for people to do things for you. Creativity, resurrection power that'll get you the money that you need lives in you. You are no longer a beggar. Say, I'm new, I'm changed, I'm the blessed. You don't have to keep talking about your past no more. Say, I'm no longer broken. I'm no longer broken. Resurrection power is healing me right now. I am no longer broken. I am no longer sad. I am no longer depressed. Say, I'm changed. That's what resurrection power do for people.
It's a gift. Jesus don't want us feeling sad on this Resurrection Sunday. He's not dead. He raised up. And he did that so that we can raise up. He don't want you to be feeling bad for him. It was a gift to you. Now, what kind of parent gives a gift to a kid? And say, here, you know, this is all the money I got. Took all the money. They're going to cut the lights off. They're going to come get the car in the house. They're going to put us out tomorrow. But this is a gift. And they crying and they belly aching. You don't want that gift. She was like, Mama, just give it back. How many know Jesus don't want us feeling sad for what happened to him? It was a part of his process. It was a part of his redemption plan. I'm glad he did it. I couldn't save myself. What would humanity be like if Jesus never saved people? Think of the people that did you wrong. That if Jesus didn't die to save people, if they never got saved, they would still be doing the same stuff to you, Pops. Think about the stuff that you did to yourself and to people. That if Jesus didn't save you, think of where you could have been if you never got saved. Are you glad that you changed? Paul says, say that. I'm glad I'm changed. Tell the devil, say, things done changed. 1 Corinthians 15:42, he says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. See, humility is a big part of our getting up. Do you know why a lot of time people won't change, brother? They won't humble themselves. They won't come up under God's hand. We've counseled so many people over the years. Some of them got freed. Some of them wound up divorced, mother. Do you know what the whole problem was? I don't deal with domestic stuff. I tell them to call the police. I don't deal with it. I'm not coming to break up no fight. If you're fighting, don't call me. Especially if your husband or wife ain't saved. You're not going to kill me up in there. I got a woman to come home to. Call the police. They got bulletproof vests and guns. Because I'm not coming. But the other ones didn't wind up in divorce. You know what happened? They wouldn't humble themselves to rise up. Humility is a big part of God's ability to get you up. You have to show that you are weak. You have to demonstrate some level of weakness unto God, and then he'll exalt you. This is how resurrection power works. As long as you think you okay, God will let you live like that till you die. He will not interrupt your life. But that's the end of it in this life. And then the next life ain't going to be what people want. Say, I'm changed, though. Resurrection Bible provides us the ability to take a dead thing or a corrupt thing and allow the resurrection power to alter its form. It alters the form. Do you know, initially, they didn't even recognize Jesus for who he was. He obviously had altered his form to some capacity. They didn't see all these bruises on his face and his face ain't all swollen up and all this stuff. So initially, they didn't even recognize him until he revealed himself unto them. He had the ability to alter his form, right? What is that to you? When resurrection power is in you, you can alter things in your life. You can change the condition in your life through the resurrection power of God. It don't have to look like that till you die in this life. It don't have to be that way until you die. I'm working on somebody's faith this morning. You're going to change before you leave up out of here. But you can alter things in the realm of the spirit. And watch this. The minute that it's changed in the realm of the spirit, Brandon, it'll automatically start affecting the natural. Did you get that? The minute that we alter it in the spirit, it'll start affecting the natural. So whoever down, you're going to raise with some power. Whatever's got you down, you're going to live past it. You're going to raise with power. God is going to assure, he's assuring you today that you're not going to be in that condition forever. Shout, I'm going to rise with power. So I'm going to shout, I'm going to rise with some power. I'm not living like this till I die. I'm going to be in Christ. I'm going to demonstrate the power of God in my life, because this is what Jesus wants us to celebrate. He don't want this to be no dead day for you, no bad day for you. He don't want people crying over a body that he has already brought back to life. That's a sign to us that we should live like he lived so that we can get up as well. Come on, I got too much. I cooked too much. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to give the Lord a hand of praise. Say, raised by his power. Raised in his power. If you down, that's how you're going to get up. Say, raised by his power. If you don't use his power, it's not going to change for you. You're not going to change. Raised by his power. Raised in his power. That means that I can live in a place in this life that it can affect every single corridor of my life. Everything is subject to change because of what happened on this glorious weekend. Yes. It wasn't glorious for his body, but it was glorious for his body. We his body, do you know that? It wasn't a glorious picture for his body, or on his body rather, but it's glorious for his body. We his body. Ain't you glad that God did, or Jesus did what he did, and God allowed him to do what he did? Death and hell in the grave couldn't hold him. Dead things are not going to be able to hold you down. Dead situations. Say, I'm going to rise with all power. I'm rising with power. My life is being altered. My mind is being altered by resurrection power. My marriage is being altered by resurrection power. My finances are being altered by resurrection power. Sin is leaving, losing its grips on me. Say, sin is losing its grips on me through resurrection power. God don't want us to be bound by no sins. None. None. He wanted people to be free. And this, what I've tried to do is give a different perspective really on this weekend. This is a great weekend, man. I say this is a great weekend. Everything that you believe about Jesus is about this weekend. Everything. That's nothing apart from this day. If this day didn't happen, the Bible says Jesus was just a man. How many know he just wasn't no man? How many ever had the Lord talk to you? How many ever had the Lord grace you with his presence? So can't nobody talk you down. You know he real. We know he real.